broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for October the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America is our guide. And absolutely, the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the Founding Fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. Welcome to the broadcast. I was not live on Monday. We played an incredible rebroadcast of Liberty Roundtable Live. But on Saturday, we were live, and I had an incredible guest, former Sheriff Richard Mack, CSPOA.org, was with me first hour. We talked about the media and the government are in bed together and are intentionally engaging in political warfare. They're isolating, demonizing, and then destroying all patriotic Americans. It's systematic. It's continuing, and it's got to stop. We talked about the constitutional Michigan sheriff, Mr. Darleaf. Says that, hey, the arrest of Governor Whitmer, at least the attempted arrest, may have been lawful due to her crimes against the Constitution. See, the debate really is this. Were they trying to arrest her, or was it a, quote, kidnapped attempt, right? Leaf says if it was a felony by the governor, then you can make a citizen's arrest. A felony arrest. He cited Michigan state law to make the point. Darleaf also continues and says we can't convict them in the news media. They do have a right to a fair trial. Matter of fact, these guys are innocent until proven guilty. That's the wise point here, folks. And you can't say they were trying to kidnap somebody. Okay, you can't say they were trying to kidnap somebody because they never even got the chance to carry out the citizen's arrest. So the debate rages on unless the government commits manipulation and crimes violating due process. This is going to be very tough for the government to cope with, folks. So the headlines from the mainstream press makes you believe Darleaf is fine with a kidnapping attempt, saying it's lawful because of her crimes. That's not really at all what the good sheriff is saying, nor is it the constitutional reality of the situation. Let's just be very clear. We completely concur with Darleaf. All right, second hour, we talked to Lee Southwell. She was an eyewitness account to anarchy, and she spoke about her experiences in Chile. And she spoke last Saturday, October 17th. It was at Liberty Hall. I was there in far west Utah. Incredible speech by Lee Southwell. And then after that, we had a panel of Eric Hansen, Lee Southwell, and myself, Sam Bushman. And we recorded it. So it should be coming up on livingliberty.net website where you can check that out. Not only the live speech that Leah gave, not Lee Southwell. I keep saying that. I don't know why. Leah Southwell. Anyway, then the panel of Q&A was there as well. So check it out. It's on Facebook, and they're working on putting it on the website now. So check that out. In 1973, Chile's Socialist Party, the president was removed by a military coup. Anyway, they became the envy of the world when it came to prosperity. And then it went south, literally instantly, in 2019. Incredible story that is riveting, to say the least. Scary, I might even add, to say the least, about how quickly a country can go from such prosperity and stability and safety. It was the apple, if you will, of Latin America. And now all of a sudden it's just turmoil everywhere. They're now trying to rewrite their constitution. Anyway, she then doubled down and compared what happened in Chile to what's happening to America today. Ooh, it is scary. She even shows a lot of pictures, photos, from the streets in Chile. And what's on the streets in America today. And ooh, the slogans, the references, the behavior, the everything. almost identical. How does that happen internationally between two completely different cultures? Completely different ends of the earth. Answer, there's an agenda, folks. All right, with that was a recap. If you want to listen to the interview that took place last Saturday, lovingliberty.net, look for the Liberty Roundtable Saturday show. You want to check out the incredible speech and panel after that, the Q&A panel? Again, go on the lovingliberty.net Facebook page and check it out, or wait, and it'll be online soon. Without further ado, Kirk Cosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. Man, there's so much news to cover, Kurt. Let's roll to your stories here. Supreme Court reinstates anti-fraud election measure targeted by Obama judge. Let's start with that one, Kurt. I guess an Obama judge is the judge that was appointed by Barack. Is that how it is?
Well, that's what they usually label them as. And so you've got these, in some cases, it's hard to tell the difference between them.
Yes,
but in this case, the Supreme Court, as you said, is checking into this one. Let's see if I can find that one there. At least every so often, it seems like the Supreme Court gets something right. In this case, they reinstate this anti-fraud election measure that was, one of the Obama judges wanted to get rid of that. Imagine anti-fraud in elections, Sam. That's kind of, there wouldn't be any fraud in elections, so I don't know why they're worried about that, We've been told there's no fraud in any elections.
Fraud all over. Every second I hear more fraud,
point.
Kurt.
Good point.
Even the mainstream press reporting the fraud. And then they double down and turn around and say doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's right. Say the president's all wet about his ideas about any voter fraud,
It's hard to even know how to respond to all this stuff. It's so egregious, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Seems like fraud everywhere. So many ways. For example, at least one of the, I didn't even bring this story up yet, but, there's been some talk about it lately, and that is, they talk about these, I can't remember the phrase, but they're like off-the-record contributions. In other words, let's say your buddy owns a newspaper and he puts your face all over the front page, and he claims it's a news story, then they would say, well, that's some kind of a contribution that's not monetary, And you look at the way Facebook and all this, they're treating this Hunter Biden / Joe Biden story lately, where they won't even let you pass this information along. That, at least if you ask me, qualifies big time for a contribution, if you will, by, their friends in the media, don't you think?
Well, it's only that if it's the conservative side. Right?
That's exactly right.
Let me just kind of ask you, why do all the liberal viewpoints get investigated and become top news, and then any allegations on the conservative side don't go anywhere? Let me give you an example. President Trump's tied into the Russians. That goes on for years at millions and millions and millions of dollars, even though it's been proven false at multiple stages along the way, right? And now that investigation kind of has died out completely, proven totally bunk, but it still gets, the allegations still kind of roll from time to time, right?
Yep.
Even though it's completely bogus. Now,
that's what they're saying on this thing. They're saying that it looks like maybe the source of it would be some Russians,
and so
they're doing disinformation.
But now, that's what I mean by it still kind of lingers in a way, even though it's been completely debunked many times. And now the Hunter Biden story, for example, along with the Joe Biden stories, they just don't have legs. They just don't go anywhere. Are the conservatives, Kurt, really that, what's the word? Do they really have that much or that little of influence or that little of
I don't think so. It's just that you hope that the truth gets to everyone. I believe that those people who are watching and, you know, checking out the media that does report these things, you know, they're well-informed. And you can see why others, you know, they pretty much can view you as almost an enemy of the Republic, if you will, or, you know, a threat to America because of what they're told by their choice in the media.
So. Amen to that. Now, I don't really understand this next headline, Kurt. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump asked Walter Reed doctors to sign non-disclosure agreements in 2019.
Well, at least what happens almost every time the president gets, you know, in some kind of a sensitive situation, which is, you know, certainly they're going to happen in doctor situations, hospital situations, is that, you know, there's some information probably disclosed, either health information or something like that.
We got HIPAA, buddy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, look, my wife can't even get information on me because of HIPAA.
Yeah, but this is the president's thing.
If I even call on my own situation, unless I can prove HIPAA docs signed and everything else, I can't even get information on myself because of HIPAA.
Yeah, but what if you're the New York Times?
Oh, then it's all up for grabs, huh?
Good point.
Well, then why don't we start throwing people in jail for violating the law?
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, so I joke and talk about HIPAA, and it's true for the rest of us, but Kurt's right, for the president it doesn't apply. If you're the New York Times or somebody else, you can quote dox the president, if you will, medical care doxing, if you will, and there'll be no accountability. People won't go to jail or anything else, even though they violated the law and privacy of individuals, in this case particularly the president of the United States of America, Kurt.
Well, that's the way I see it, Sam. It seems
unfortunately.
Some people view it as if they're like a whistleblower. They're, you know, going to give us information, and yet you and I, hey, we're so-called protected, I guess, unless the New York Times wanted to get info on us, and that would be a different story. But, you know, they like to get dirt that they can spread around and...
In my mind, that's criminal, though. This idea that President Trump even needs to go to those lengths is very concerning indeed. And what they're trying to do, in my opinion, also, Kurt, to add to this, is release this headline. Trump asked Walter Reed doctors to sign non-disclosure agreements in 2019. He just knew, as you know, president, that if he ever had to go there for any reason, the wolves, the paparazzi, the whatever you want to call it, enemies, would be descending like vultures. And so he's just saying, hey, let's double opt you in, physicians, to make sure that you keep my medical information private. Kurt, doesn't he have a right to do that? I mean, they make it sound like this is some big deal. I don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah, it seems perfectly fair. You know, this is an NBC report, and this is back in November of 2019 when he made what they call a surprise visit. Surprise! He says, sun.co.uk says, both doctors and non-medical staff had to sign non-disclosure agreements. You know, hey, we won't talk, but, you know, we've seen how this non-disclosure agreement really works with different people writing different books and different things like
sure.
that.
So you can't blame the president. You say, well, why didn't he sign it, you know, in 2017 when he became president? Well, because he didn't realize everybody would use inside knowledge and write books and have no accountability for their breaching of classified information or anything else. I mean, how much of this stuff at the White House are they releasing that would be, you know, you're not allowed to release that stuff. But the problem is no one's going to jail. There's zero accountability whatsoever, right? And so they want to make big hay out of this headline, kind of like, oh my gosh, Donald's hiding something. Look, even in advance, he did this and that. And I don't see it that way at all, Kurt. I really don't.
Couldn't agree more, Sam. Yeah.
And I think it's wrong that he has to create this double opt-in scenario. But I also got another question on the other side of the sword. Can I say sword, Kurt?
Sure.
All right. Double-edged sword is what they call it. So why don't we now push then for records on Joe Biden? You see, the guy commonly forgets where he is. He forgets all kinds of facts and details and figures. He even had to be prompted by what's that goofball's name when the previous debate? What was that guy's name? Something Wallace. Chris,
Wallace,
I guess, the
Chris
son of Mike.
Wallace, yeah.
All right. You know, Chris had to prompt the former vice president a couple of times even to get him back on track. You know, he's not even responding to the same issue. And why don't we get the medical records and the details of a Joe Biden then? See?
Good point.
If it's all transparent, if it's all, you know, Donald's just crazy for, you know, trying to say you can't release my medical records. It's against the law. Let's make sure that you guys know this. Kind of a discussion. Then let's just have Hunter Biden's information all over the net.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up because, you know, again, what do they say? Turnabouts, fair play, is that the word used? Or sometimes it's a double-edged sword.
Something like that.
Whatever, you know, colloquialism you want to use for all that.
Good for the goose, good for the gander.
Yeah, good point. You know, what do they say? Something six of one, half a dozen of the other, or whatever?
Yeah.
Six of one, half, is that that? Yeah. You know, so I'm just saying, if we're going to do that, let's do it all the way. If we're not, let's just not play one side of politics, is what I'm trying to get at. All right, the Supreme Court, Kurt, this is vote fraud at the highest levels of our government. You ready for this? The Supreme Court let stand a ruling by Pennsylvania's highest court, Kurt, which allows election officials to count some mail ballots, or mailed-in ballots is what I ought to say. It's not really male versus female ballots. It's just mailed-in ballots. Received up to 3 days after Election Day. Now, of course, Pennsylvania is a key state in the key battleground state in the election or whatever. But so now what you got is the Pennsylvania court said, hey, yeah, we can count ballots that come in late. No big deal. Even if it's postmarked late, no big deal. And then the Supreme Court didn't exactly approve it like they're saying, although they kind of did. What happened is they were deadlocked. Because remember, they don't have enough justices because one died, right? Can't get another one on there. It's too political now. So now they basically, because they're tied, whenever it's tied, it just leaves it to the former court's ruling, if you will. In other words, they don't have the chance to change it because there's no. So anyway, the bottom line is the Supreme Court, in a way, left it stand, but not exactly, because they didn't make a choice. They just got forced into letting it stand. Anyway, to make a long story short, though, so now you've literally got, in one of the battleground states, you've got mail-in ballots, and they're blatantly saying, yeah, we know your ballot didn't come in on time, but we're going to count it anyway, Kurt, if we want to. See, because what are they going to do? Some ballots, they might say, well, that one's late and get rid of it, and that one's good and keep it, and that one's late and get keep, that one's good. What will be the deciding factor, Kurt? Great. Who will decide? And see, so that you've got vote fraud in one of the key battleground states right now, Kurt. Pennsylvania, a huge scandal in my opinion, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
You want to comment more on this? I mean, it's shocking. They're blatantly admitting vote fraud and taking it to the highest court in the land, and then it stands.
Right. And I think it's just, I guess you could say, just a little bit of a, you know, what's to come, Sam. I mean, I expect, I wish it weren't the case, but I expect a whole bunch of this kind of stuff with this election, don't you?
Unfortunately, yes. And I think it's just going to get worse. There's going to be more. President Trump said on the campaign stage it was going to be a disaster. And they mocked the president, but you know what? We're seeing that very reality unfold before our very eyes, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, our prayers are that we can get a handle on this because it can be the undoing of America, folks. All right, a judge, I guess, orders Twitter to unmask the, quote, FBI impersonator who set off the Seth Rich conspiracy. Now, the Seth Rich conspiracy, first off, you got to give people a thumbnail and catch people up because they've tried to make that story go out of the minds and hearts of the American people, and we try to keep it alive, Kurt. But let's give everybody a 30-second on Seth Rich, and then we'll back into this story.
Well, at least in my opinion, what you want to know about Seth Rich is this is a young man, you know, in his, as far as I know, late 20s, early 30s in there. You know, in my opinion, he's confused, but he's feeling like he's serving his country as a Democratic National Committee, you know, worker, that kind of thing. And yet he was, you know, pretty well-informed. You know, he's also quite a software kind of guy, computer kind of guy, et cetera. And he was a big fan of Bernie's. This is during the 2016 election. Big fan of Bernie's, and yet he found out, in my opinion, that he was, well, Bernie was basically not going to be able to win because of the basically everything being set up for Hillary. And, you know, I believe he released a bunch of these so-called emails and that kind of thing that got to WikiLeaks, et cetera. And, you know, basically that was a problem, especially for Hillary. And, you know, I think, at least personally, that then he was basically targeted for assassination. And, you know, he ends up dead early in a, I think it was a July morning in 2016. There's a whole bunch of questionable things around it, you know, and there's never been any real, and what I'd call real investigation. Fox News had been, they did a little bit of a story on it, and then they've been under fire by either the family of Seth Rich or friends of the family who I think have been pressured or whatever to say, hey, we don't really want to dig in here. You know, and I don't know what else to add about it, but that's the way I see this, Sam.
No, I think that's exactly right. The only thing that you need to add to this story to kind of tie it to now. So anybody who's really investigated this thing has been literally abused and shocked into silence. And there was a whole lot more groups than Fox that were really investigating this thing at first. And then, of course, the big heavy hand of government and lawsuits and courts and, you know, threats behind the scenes and everything else. Then, of course, nobody wants to report on it. But now what they're saying is the judge is ordering Twitter to unmask. Everybody else is putting on masks. But in this case, you got to unmask the FBI impersonator who set off the Seth Rich, what they say is conspiracy, Kurt. But let's talk about this a little bit more. This story's worth digging into. We want to keep the Seth Rich story alive because we believe there's pay dirt behind the truth on this one. It's hard to get to, I'll tell you that. But Liberty Roundtable continues in seconds, okay?
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. look at all the corruption in his family. It's tremendous corruption. Nobody's ever seen. I mean, that laptop, nobody has ever seen anything like that. He's gone into hiding.
President Trump's comments on Fox and Friends, this after President Trump says the FBI should be investigating Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden and his son Hunter over the information that was discovered purportedly on that laptop belonging to Hunter Biden. Election Day is 2 weeks away from today, and President Trump will be campaigning in the battleground state of Pennsylvania. The president appearing with the First Lady at an airport rally in Erie. Former Vice President Joe Biden holding no campaign events ahead of the debate set for Thursday, but his wife, Dr. Jill Biden, will be in Michigan today, a place where the former vice president visited on Friday. You're listening to USA Radio News.
This is sponsored by Amazon. Shoppers, no need to wait until Black Friday or Cyber Monday this year to score incredible holiday savings. Head to Amazon to find all of this year's hottest gifts and holiday needs, and save big with new deals dropping daily. Starting right now with Amazon's Holiday Dash Deals event, you'll find great deals on must-have holiday gifts, including toys, electronics, fashion, home, and kitchen items, and more. Plus, with Amazon's biggest ever selection of gift guides available earlier than ever before, you'll find even more gift ideas for everyone in your life at any budget. Elizabeth Gordon, Amazon, says,
"We're making it easy for all Amazon customers to get their holiday shopping done early this year and still save big. Don't risk the rush. Shop epic deals now and beat the holiday bustle."
Need some more inspiration? You can easily ask Alexa. Just say, "Alexa, give me gift ideas under $50," or "Alexa, give me holiday gift ideas." Now, get your gift lists ready and visit Amazon.com/holiday-dash for more information.
The final Trump-Biden debate will give the moderator the opportunity to mute microphones to prevent candidates from interrupting when the other person is scheduled to talk. The Trump campaign crying foul over the rule, but still saying that President Trump will participate despite the rule change. Regarding this rule change, former White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer reminding everyone,
"2-minute buzzer is only at the beginning of each segment. That's the only time the candidates will be muted. For the rest of it, they're going to be able to go back and forth with each other. And as you know, and I think you believe this too, it would behoove the president to interrupt a little bit less."
Fleischer speaking there on Fox News. The streaming service Disney Plus is providing longer warnings on classic films, noting that they may contain racist stereotyping. The streaming service adding the warning to classics such as Dumbo, The Aristocrats, and Peter Pan. You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, when was the last time that a judge orders a media company like Twitter to unmask a, quote, FBI impersonator who set off the Seth Rich, what they call conspiracy? I don't know that it's a conspiracy when we basically don't believe the facts have been vetted in this case. I think it's merely a reality check that we're not confident that we've been told the whole story. I'm not making any conspiracy statements of what, you know, I think the case is. There's evidence that points to certain things, but that evidence is being ignored. Let me give you an example. We say that, hey, somebody attacked and killed him. They say, well, no, he was just robbed. The problem is they didn't really take anything. So I don't really understand how he was robbed. So very strange stuff. He went to the hospital alive, but then died later. So at some point, it's just the facts don't add up, Kurt. Is that a conspiracy when the facts don't add up?
Well, there's a piece that's called Seth Rich, : The Murder Washington Doesn't Want Solved. It's in the AmericanThinker.com. Jack Cashel writes this piece, but he outlines it pretty well and includes a little bit more detail that I didn't include. But he says, on the face of things, the July 2016 murder of Seth Rich had intrigue enough for a full season of House of Cards. I guess that's a TV show. I'm not sure. Anyway, it says, unknown assailants gunned down the young DNC data analyst at 4 a.m. on a Washington, D.C. street and take nothing, just like you said. 2 weeks later, international man of mystery Julian Assange strongly suggests on Dutch TV that Rich was his source for the purloined, that means stolen, DNC emails, then roiling the Democratic Party, and offers a $20,000 reward to find the killer. 3 days before the November election, Assange reportedly tells liberal media analyst Ellen Ratner that Rich was indeed his source. Days after Trump's inauguration,
by the way, I'm friends with Ellen Ratner, but I reached out to her about this, and she doesn't want to talk, Kurt.
She doesn't want to talk.
She decided to retire, my friend.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Now, I'm not attacking Eleanor here.
But you sure wonder.
Or Ellen, I'm sorry, Ellen here. But I do wonder what is up with all that.
Yeah, because she was normally pretty talkative about, you know, almost anything, it seemed like, in the past. Says, days after Trump's inauguration, legendary investigative journalist Cy Hirsch cites an FBI report confirming Assange's claims. Later that year, DNC honcho Donna Brazile dedicates her book Hacks to Rich and wonders out loud whether the Russians had played some part in his unsolved murder. And despite the stakes, the Trump presidency hinged on the investigation outcome. There was to be no TV series about Rich's life and death, no movie, no serious books, not even a single episode of Unsolved Mysteries or 48 Hours. Incredibly, no major publication or network, save for Fox News, has even attempted to resolve this still unsolved murder. The Fox execs rather wish they hadn't. To understand how a story this potentially explosive could be suppressed for so long, it is necessary, they say. This is the AmericanThinker.com writing this piece. It's necessary to understand one basic fact of Washington life. Quote, Donald Trump received just 4.1% of the district's vote in the 2016 election. Yeah, think about that. More than 96% of the vote in Washington, D.C.
Well,
went
a little less
to
than
Hillary.
96, right?
Well, 4.1%. Yeah, good point. 95.9. Says Trump's election disrupted short-term strategies and long-term expectations in every one of the Capitol's major institutions, local and federal, public and private, the legal community among them. According to Hirsch, Trump was a circuit breaker, one who made a whole lot of enemies. Those enemies, as we have seen, would go to great lengths to discredit Trump and anyone associated with him. The pressure they can bring to bear on even those who want to tell the truth remains formidable. Instead of a serious investigation by either police or reporters, that's what we kind of complain about. I mean, you never hear any of them getting to the bottom of this. Says the Seth Rich case generated a dumpster full of frivolous lawsuits. These suits have had the result, likely intended, of silencing those who would dare to investigate Rich's demise.
Now, let me just stop you there and say this.
Yeah.
If Seth Rich is just a low-level IT analyst kind of guy, and he was just kind of disgruntled or whatever, but it's no big deal and there's no ties to anything, and he was kind of a Bernie supporter and Hillary was the, you know, person that mattered, and so Seth Rich is kind of a nobody. If that's the truth like they want you to believe, as opposed to a very serious player in this leak of data or intentional whistleblowing regarding data. And so if he was a nobody instead of a whistleblower, why do they care how much we investigate it? If it was really just a robbery gone wrong, then we will hit nothing but dead ends in our investigation, Kurt. Why worry? Why create lawsuits? Why shut people down? Why have such a big, quote, firewall around this thing? If it's really just a murder gone wrong, I mean, a robbery gone wrong, why do they even care? Why? I mean, go ahead and investigate it. Knock yourselves out, guys. But the fact that there's a big to-do about this, as they put it, a dumpster fire of court cases about this, a threatening of you know, loss of job and everything else if you continue to report or talk about this thing. And why all that, Kurt? Why? Now, well, is that a conspiracy theory to wonder why? Because it just doesn't add up. Now, I don't think that's been going into any conspiracies at all.
Well, a conspiracy, all it has to do is have at least two people conspiring.
So if they're conspiring, then for some reason to not let anybody investigate this thing, why?
Good point.
That wouldn't be a conspiracy theory, though, Kurt. That would be a conspiracy fact if that were to take place.
That's exactly right. And the AmericanThinker.com article continues. It says, all too predictably, the media have heaped abuse on the investigators and cheered on the litigators. Prominent among the private citizens who asked questions is Ed Butowski, a Republican wealth manager from Texas. He said, it's horrible, he told me. I had no idea how big the other side is, and they are completely after me. Once he started inquiring into Rich's death, said Butowski, everything just turned to blank. Butowski stumbled into his role as sleuth. Through his occasional TV appearances, he met Ellen Ratner, a friend of Assange, one of our acquaintances. Her late brother, Michael Ratner, had been one of the American lawyers for the fugitive WikiLeaks founder. On the day after the election, Ratner lobbed a grenade into an otherwise banal panel discussion at Florida's Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. She said, I spent 3 hours with Julian Assange on Saturday at the Ecuadorian embassy in London. Ratner volunteered this midway through the event. One thing he did say was the leaks were not from the Russians. They were an internal source from the Hillary campaign or from somebody that knew Hillary, an enemy. So there's a little more detail on that, Sam. If the grenade had detonated, Ratner would have blown a hole in a collusion plot that centered on the presumed Russian hack of the DNC.
But let me stop you. How did the grenade not detonate, Kurt? An allegation like that, you can't ignore.
That's exactly right.
But again, why? How does this control happen?
Well,
but now that Twitter's going to unmask, who's Twitter going to unmask, Kurt?
You know, and this piece, the Twitter story that's more recent, it's coming from NPR, so I don't really expect it to get any real details, but, you know, it's possible. I just don't.
Well, what you do is you threaten to unmask somebody. You never really unmask anybody, but what you do is you just send another chill through the investigative community, and anybody who just might be thinking things aren't adding up can't touch this one.
That's right.
Is the resounding message, right?
Somebody on Twitter called at WhisperTech. WhisperTech. The FBI, or anyway, in the NPR story, they said learning the identity of WhisperTech is necessary in order to confirm that WhisperTech was not, in fact, an FBI insider or otherwise someone who had access to non-public FBI material, which basically means we want to keep this thing closed up.
And we're going to send a clarion smackdown to the tech community via Twitter saying, hey, don't you dare touch this one, people. It's a shame, ladies and gentlemen. I want the truth. The question is, will we ever get it?
NPR is involved in one of the legal battles tied to the Seth Rich controversy.
Meaning they have even a greater conflict of interest?
Good point.
We can only pray we get the truth, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, 4 grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved 4 checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
How do you know your child loves you?
When he calls and he says, Dad, why don't we go fishing? Just very simple, but it really counts.
They make a song up and they come into our bedroom and say, we made a song and will you listen?
Our next oldest daughter came to me with tears in her eyes. She said, Daddy, I just thank you for coming home every night when we were growing up.
My son does the nicest things. When he's playing outside, he'll come in and just give me a hug and run right back outside.
My daughter goes to the same high school that I'm the registrar at, and I'll go into my office after the bell has rung, and there's a note on my desk. And it'll usually say, Mom, I love you. I'm thinking about you.
And I think of my boy that we finally got him through graduation. And he came up to me and said, I made it. Thanks.
Family, isn't it about time?
That's all he said. And that meant everything to me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as we were during the break, Sam said, is there anything else we ought to do on this one, or should we go on? And I said, well, we better move on. And I look, it's so amazing on this whole Ratner thing, Sam, to me, our connection to this story through her, you'd think, hey, how would that happen for us? But apparently one more little thing on the Ratner connection. Ellen Ratner, who ladies and gentlemen, we basically been face to face with, they say in this American Thinker story, in the ensuing days, Ratner's public silence frustrated Butowski. Remember, Butowski's this kind of wealthy guy from Texas who's, you know, basically trying to dig into this killing and feeling like somebody ought to help. Anyway, it says December 29th, 2016, so this is after the election, he sent an email to Ratner saying, quote, if the person you met with truly said what he did, is there a reason you or we aren't reporting it? That same day, Ratner responded, because it was a family meeting, is what she said. I would have to get his permission. We'll ask his new lawyer, my sister-in-law. So, you know, she's very well connected. And as you said, Sam, surprisingly, in my opinion, she's gone into retirement. Sam, one of the things that the story brings up too that makes me think it's very real possibility is that the Riches didn't want to be blamed, if you will, for the election of President Trump, and so they kind of wanted this whole thing to go away. I think they were, I guess you could say, in a way, ashamed of it.
Here's what's interesting. They're either ashamed of it or afraid for their lives, Kurt.
Good point.
I don't know which, okay? Because on one hand, these guys are extremely liberal. I'm sure Seth's rich family is extremely liberal. I don't think this guy just randomly gets this job like this or whatever. And Ellen Ratner is extremely liberal. And so is Tom Hartman. But, you know, out of the whole liberal crowd, there's two people that I have respect for, and that's Ellen and Tom. Because you know what? They've reached out the aisle, and even though we completely disagree on politics, we've been friends, Kurt. You know, they've been decent and respectful and kind to us and vice versa.
That's exactly right. And, we've almost, if you will, broken bread with them and, been, in their territory. Well,
almost.
If you
we
will.
Did sit down and eat dinner with them, Kurt.
That's what I mean. It's just, it's just amazing to me that, I guess I shouldn't say it's amazing, because when you get in a place, Washington, D.C., where nearly 96 out of 100 people wanted Hillary Clinton to be the president. You can see that the president's in hostile territory, Sam.
No question. But you know what I will say about Tom and Ellen, both of them? Even though we disagree on just about everything in many ways, I agree more with Tom than I do Ellen, probably. But both of them were very nice, very kind, very respectful, very friendly, very appropriate. They knew we were conservative and everything. It didn't seem to matter. Even though we could agree to disagree, we all agreed on the fact that we should dig and do our best to report it as we see it. We just see it differently, that's all. And we could accept that, Kurt. The reason I'm focusing on this, because I really think that's the a pattern for the nation that would really matter.
Yeah. And, you know, as we've said before, the issue is honesty. We feel like Seth Rich's story, you know, I mean, whoever's to blame ought to be held accountable.
And now this is a guy that's extremely liberal too, Kurt. Why would we be defending the truth on him?
Because we want the truth everywhere.
That's right. Right? That's exactly the point. And so you would think if we were partisan in nature or something like that, or weren't quite completely genuine or open or whatever you want to say, then we'd be like, oh, this one doesn't matter. It's only Seth. Come on, you don't accept the mainstream press view. You know, we'd be like that. We're not like that because we want the truth. And I don't know why Ellen's silent on this, Kurt, but I have a feeling. Yeah. Ready for the feeling?
Go ahead.
You need to go into retirement, Ellen. It's about time. Your brother's not alive. Your sister-in-law or whatever else is the attorney for this thing. It's time to not talk. You've lived a wonderful life and had a great news career. Let it be so. Go out with style, right?
Yeah. And, you know, a little bit more Ratner stuff in the story, just so you know. You get, it's amazing how much she has to do with this that I never knew.
Well, we know she was a key newsmaker, though, on the liberal side of things, Kurt. So even though we didn't know all the details of this, it doesn't surprise me one bit.
We just learned being there. Apparently, Butowski kept his promise not to reveal a note from Ellen Ratner. And then Ratner repaid him in March 2018. So this is, you know, 2 years after the election of the president, 2 weeks after Joel and Mary Rich sued Butowski for emotional distress. Ratner wrote an article for WorldNet Daily titled, "I Love My Conservative Friends." She specifically cites Butowski, the man involved in the Seth Rich controversy. Ratner adds coyly, quote, "Some say he had the secrets of the Democratic National Committee, and some think he was just murdered," end quote. So, you know, and I guess maybe she meant us as well when she says, you know, she loves her conservative friends.
Of course, she's meant us, Kurt, and many others. Anyway, there you have that. We thought we'd bring that to your attention. We'll keep an eye on that ball, and we certainly shouldn't let the Seth Rich story die. We need to investigate and find out the truth, folks. We owe it to journalistic integrity, folks.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
All right, the NBA, National Basketball Association, right, Kurt? They've been very, very, very controversial as of late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And their numbers of, you know, at least their fans have pretty much departed, if you will. I mean, I've got sons-in-laws who basically just say, hey, I'm not going back to watching that stuff. And you ask why, ladies and gentlemen? Well, they've been doing this whole Black Lives Matter thing and sticking us with a bunch of political stuff instead of, sticking to the game. But the headline from Breitbart says, NBA sticks to sports. Will ditch on-the-court social justice displays after this season.
They should have done that a long time ago, buddy.
I agree very much.
I got a question. Isn't the NBA tied into China?
That's one very big, big factor.
So are they going to jettison their ties to China if they're going to get out of the, you know, controversy and all that kind of stuff and kind of back away? from
quit
this.
Supporting slavery.
They're
going to
stick to ports and they're going to ditch out on the court's social justice displays. So remaining silent or whatever else on China, is that part of it, Kurt? Or what are they, you know, how's that going to go down?
I would be really surprised if they're, what they'll probably do on the whole China thing is just not talk about it, Sam. And that's exactly what China wants them to do, is not talk about the connection between slavery and, the communist Chinese and the big money that they put into sports.
Yeah, some intrepid investigative journalist needs to double down and check into the jerseys and the specialty shoes and all that kind of stuff made in China and see if there's slave labor involved in that, Kurt. What do you think of that idea, you know?
I think they've already done that, and it's certainly the case.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All
but
right. Well,
it's a story that you don't want to, you know, get involved in.
Of course not. We better move along.
You could get Seth Riched, you know, saying.
Yeah, shoot. So, moving right along here, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. I mean, this is serious, folks. We don't mean to make fun of it. We're just showing how, double standard laden it really is. Exactly. White House physician speaking out, Kurt. This is like a dur. How dumb am I story?
Well, I mean, it's amazing to me. The headline reads, White House physician Donald Trump has COVID-19 antibodies. I thought that
wonder
was
why,
just
Kurt.
Normal if you got COVID-19.
It is, Kurt.
So.
And if it's not, then I got another question.
Yeah.
Now, why wouldn't you have antibodies to a sickness? How would your body fight it off, Kurt?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe your body wouldn't need to fight it off at all.
Yeah. Imagine that, Sam. Mm.
Can't go there, though. Yeah, that'll set Richard probably faster than anything. So, anyway, why is the physician even coming out and saying this, Kurt?
Well, he added that the president's blood work drawn before didn't show any antibodies, and now it does. So, you know, but I just think, I thought that was one of the whole goals is you try to get these antibodies or these things that protect you from, you know, these bad things.
So let me get this very clear in your mind then. If Donald Trump has the antibodies, it's very, 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 very unlikely that he'll get the illness again, correct?
Well, that's the way I've been.
All right, so if he doesn't have it and he's got the antibodies for it, he's more safe at the upcoming presidential debate than Joe Biden. Joe might be sick and nobody would know. He might just kill everybody, Kurt. He might be a super spreader.
Mm-hmm. Well, good point. And,
Super Joe is what they call
him. I couldn't agree more.
All right. Anyway, isn't that true, though? If the president's been cleared, if he doesn't have it, if he's not infectious, if he's got the antibodies, then he's probably one of the safest dudes running around right now, isn't he, Kurt?
Yeah, and he's certainly got room to talk because he's been through it, right?
Yes, and Joe Biden, though, that guy's vulnerable as all get out. Maybe they're not wanting all the debates and all the different things like that just to protect Joe.
I think they want to protect Joe from the American people, Sam.
Or protect the American people from Joe is what really needs to happen. But that's a different topic altogether. Mm-hmm. Kurt, you got an iSpy story really quick.
Yeah, it says, watch out for this green dot on your iPhone. It means someone is watching. Sean Keach writes this piece. Are you familiar with this green dot kind of stuff, Sam?
Yes.
Okay, I figured you'd want to break it down real quick.
All right, let me just break it down for you. Ready?
Yeah.
Green dot or not, you better watch out, because they're going to spy on you.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what phone you got, my friends, they'll do it to you. Yeah, the green dot's already in town, baby.
I thought so.
Okay, so you don't have to have a green dot to mean someone is watching. Let me tell you how you know someone's watching. Are you ready? You ready for this?
Yeah.
You have a smartphone.
Mm-hmm. Not very
that means
smart.
Somebody is watching, ladies and gentlemen. Green dot or not. If you don't believe me, go research Google and see what lawsuits have been filed against the organization for their breach of security over and over and over, not to mention the unintentional security leaks that happen over and over and over. And go research the back doors and the use of data that other softwares have been granted and you'll realize it's an absolute security violation free-for-all going on, and I'll argue anybody in tech about that, and the facts are on our side. LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic.